Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sahabi, and the special characteristic of this sahabi, of this companion, and a special unique quality and due to a special reason and effect, that in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a special status and a special rank in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this status, this rank, he only had in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu, that was his name, Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu. And the connection was due to the Qur'an with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he had attained this level and this status due to the connection with the Qur'an and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, he had attained a rank and a status and an understanding and a learning with the Qur'an. And to the extent that I have studied and learnt, that no other sahabi would have attained or had attained this rank. He had a very great status in this respect. And once an event occurred in relation to this status he had, and what was that event? That this sahabi, Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu, he had ilm, he had knowledge, and he on one occasion was given, you can say, the knowledge degree, the degree of knowledge. Or you can say, we have like in Darul Uloom, you have graduation in the institutes. In any institute, learning institute, a person completes the course, studies 1 year, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and then a person is farig, or freed, or graduates, and he is issued a degree, or she's issued a degree that this person has graduated. So Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab also attained a degree from an institute, and never did an institute, was an institute made before that time like this, or never will one be made in the future. Ha, subhanallah. This is how we should listen carefully, attentively. Today's subject is very good, inshallah. So that Darul Uloom, that was a unique Darul Uloom, a unique learning institute, and that was called Darul Uloom Muhammadiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best Darul Uloom ever to come onto the earth. And there were 124,000 students of that Darul Uloom, and all of them graduated from this Darul Uloom. And today this event that I'm sharing with you, that how did this sahabi attain graduation? How did he earn his degree? How was he freed, and how did he graduate from this Darul Uloom? Are you listening carefully to what I'm saying? Okay. So this sahabi, this companion, he was present in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid attention on Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b and said that Ubay ibn Ka'b, this is the meaning of the hadith that I'm presenting to you, that I would like to ask you a question, give me an answer now. This is the graduation, subhanallah. Yes, see how the graduation was earned or given from the, you can say, university, from the Darul Uloom, at a great degree, the best degree would be issued. So this was an ajeeb point here, that this is something, obviously, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when he wanted to say something, and this was his blessed habit, that Rasulullah would ask the Sahaba, come, tell me what is this? And then the answer would come from the Sahaba, that Allah and His Rasul know best. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would himself give the reply. But here the situation was different a little bit. Here was a hukm, here was a request, here was a statement that, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, tell me, I ask you a question, give me the answer. And he was listening attentively. What is the question? What's the answer I need to give? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the Quran, tell me, inside the Quran, which is the greatest verse? Which is the greatest ayah? Great question. What a great question, huh? And then this question
coming from Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here, what would happen is that if Rasulullah would ask a question, then the Sahaba would always just stay quiet and humble, and always the same answer would come. No Sahabi would dare to immediately give an answer. If Rasulullah would ask a question, and the Sahaba would answer, oh no, it's like this, or there's a challenge or questioning, no. They would stay silent and wait for the answer. So instead of saying, Allah and His Rasul know best, because what is the best or the greatest verse in the Quran? I don't know. What did Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu say? What was his reply? He was silent. And then he went into thought and think, what was all this? This was all the tasarruf, the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the teaching of this Darul Uloom. Tasarruf, that he got lost in thinking and the answer, what is the answer? And then after a little while, he stated, Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, the answer came. The old Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest verse, you know, just like he dived into the ocean, into the deep ocean. This was the tasarruf, the vision, the attention of the Shaykh, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on his student, the Sahabi. So he dived into the ocean and he came out with a pearl and he said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what I realize is that the greatest verse of the Quran is Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the throne. Subhanallah. So there he attained graduation. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now the name changed. And then, because when a person becomes an alim, then he is called with the title. When a person earns a knowledge degree, we see graduation, he becomes an alim, mashallah, at that time he is respected. So he was graduating, so he didn't have his name called to him. He was called by his kunya, his title, Abu Munzir. Subhanallah, the style changed. So Rasulullah said, Abu Munzir, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have got ilm. Your ilm has been accepted, your knowledge. So you are now an alim. MashaAllah. The meaning of the hadith, you are now an alim. A scholar, great degree he's attained from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now tell me, what ilm must have come into his heart? What a great scholar he has become. And this is that sahabi, that companion that we're speaking about. So in this way, he was given the title. Now, what is the point here is that there's a very big thing we have attained. That we have to look at ourselves, isn't it? What's the benefit for us here? Why? Because we obviously worried about ourselves and our hereafter. We have to look here, analyze. These were the Sahabi, the Sahaba, the companions, and they learned from Rasulullah and they benefited. So now, all the ulama, the scholars, the muhaddithin, they have, mashallah, taken the beautiful pearls out of these hadith. It's not just that we've now discussed this hadith and that's the end of the story. So the scholars, our pious predecessors, have picked the pearl from this hadith. What is it that we've learnt? The biggest point we've learnt here is a great point. What is the greatest verse in the Quran? Say it loudly. Ayat al-Kursi. Is this a small thing? Such a great treasure that we've earned and learnt. What a great treasure. This is a great verse of the Quran. We thought that this verse is big and this verse is big, etc. And the verse that is the greatest, then what is hidden within that verse? The pearl, the treasures, so the jewels. Imagine the kamal and the effect of that verse. You think this verse is just some normal verse that we can bypass? No. Let's stop here. There must be something very valuable we need to take. What can this Ayat al-Kursi do for us? Let's have a look. What can it do? So when this point was made, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, so now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a bit of tashrih, commentary of this verse, and a unique commentary. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the point is this, that this verse, Ayatul Kursi, its style is different. What is that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to this verse made it beautiful, jameel. Every verse, alhamdulillah, has a form, an effect, a unique appearance, a jamal, a beauty, an effect, a husn. Every verse. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself praised this verse, that this verse of the throne, Ayatul Kursi, what is its beauty? That in this verse, Allah ta'ala has put two beautiful lips. Say it, subhanallah, subhanallah. So after today, you will get a great enjoyment in reciting Ayat al-Kursi. Allah Ta'ala has attached two beautiful lips to this verse of the throne. The Sahaba listening carefully. And then Rasulullah SAW said that Allah Ta'ala has given this ayah a mouth, a tongue. Allah Ta'ala has blessed this verse with that fact that Allah Ta'ala has given it two beautiful lips and a tongue and a mouth. So what does it do? Where does it live? Where does this verse reside? Subhanallah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that where does this verse live? Shall I tell you? Where does this verse live? It stays very close to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ah, so imagine how great a verse this is now. It's the greatest verse, and where does it reside? Next to the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah. And it has lips and a tongue and it eats, does it? Does it suck the mangoes or eat apples? What does it do? What's the function? Because that's what we do with our lips, don't we? And we take taste. So what's the taste that this verse enjoys? What does it eat or consume or do with these lips? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has lips. The lips function, have a function, and its tongue. But what is its food? What does it say? From the lips and its tongue, it does the dhikr of Allah. It remembers, I say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So what a great point that we have learned from here. Great point we need to understand. What a great, great fact. That's such a great verse. The verse of the throne, Allah has given it a special rank, and Allah Ta'ala has kept it close to Himself, and Allah Ta'ala has given this verse a great, great status, and the status of its greatness is what? The dhikr of Allah. The reason for its greatness is what? The dhikr of Allah. So let's understand it, that whenever Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate something, make something high, give it a high status, rank, and keep something close to Himself, then what does Allah Ta'ala give that thing or item or person? Say it loudly, dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Do you understand now? We just learned this straight from this verse of the throne. So the sunnati ilahi, the sunnah of Allah, it doesn't matter who it is, whoever Allah Ta'ala gives his qurb, his status, high status, whoever Allah Ta'ala gives rank and glory and respect and significance and promotion, Allah will give him one ni'mah, or her one ni'mah, or it one ni'mah. He'll have one high, high status, and a sign of that is what? The dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. Now tell me that those who sit on the earth and do the dhikr of Allah, what will be their rank? What will be their status? What will be their significance? You think yourself, I don't need to say anything. You think yourself, that Allah Ta'ala, if He gives the opportunity to a human being on the earth to do His dhikr, and the human being starts to do dhikr, starts to love dhikr, and dhikr becomes his life, and dhikr he has a strong link with, then consider, what should we consider? That this is not a normal person, rather he is qareeb to Allah, he is close to Allah, Allah likes this person, and within all of the human beings, Allah Ta'ala selected this person from within all of the human beings. So this is the point here. That man or woman, Allah Ta'ala selected. And very few. Is there anyone who gets this rank and status? Very few. So this is a very big point, my friends. Alhamdulillah, what we need to see here is that the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, is a great thing indeed. Great thing. And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala has given us this tawfiq, my friends. The dhikr of Allah, we need to appreciate it. We need to appreciate it. Now, the point is, the Ayat al-Kursi, did anybody know what was the rank of Ayat al-Kursi? Did anybody know its height, its maqam, its qurb? What qurb Allah Ta'ala has given to the Ayat al-Kursi? We didn't know. Who has told us? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He kept it hidden. And he didn't have to reveal it to us or tell us. We would have realized on the day of Qiyamah, when everything would have been made apparent and obvious, our amal would be unraveled, our faces, our forms, the reality would have come in front of us, and sin, the form of sin would have been ajeeb. The form and the appearance of our ibadah would be ajeeb, and Allah's beloveds, their appearance would be unique, and the faces of the pious people, their faces would be unique, and the reality would be unveiled on the day of judgment. Allah Ta'ala at the moment has concealed everything, and everyone's hidden, and nothing is apparent. But on the day of Hashar, everything would be unraveled, everyone's status and their reality or their fakeness. So Allah Ta'ala said openly, today the dhakireen will be who? They'll be haseen and beautiful. But here Allah Ta'ala has put a veil, just like Ayatul Kursi had a veil. So what will be their maqam? That when they will come to Hashar, then just like the noon on the 14th night, their faces will be shining. This is how they will be. Here, they are hidden, or they are criticized, or mocked, or laughed at, or for example, you will lose out in the dunya. Just persevere. But Allah Ta'ala says this is hidden. Now we don't understand what is Ayat al-Kursi and what is its maqam. We don't know the maqam of a dhakir. And that Allah Ta'ala has told us and explained to us, subhanAllah, has a great maqam. So my friends, grab hold of this and never leave this action. That's the meaning of what I'm saying. That's the one. So what is being stated here in the hadith, Ayat al-Kursi, the praise of Ayat al-Kursi, the verse of the throne. So why has the verse of the throne been given at this height, this glory, this high status and level? What's the speciality in Ayat al-Kursi that Allah Ta'ala has instilled in this verse? That is this, that the fourth, the meaning of the Quran, the fourth part of the meaning of Quran is upon Tawheed, the oneness of Allah and Allah Ta'ala's oneness and His worship. And the Mufassireen and the commentators have stated that in this verse of the throne, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the subject of his tawheed in totality. And such a beautiful, complete and total way Allah Ta'ala has mentioned his tawheed that beautifully. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'kuduhu sinatu wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi al-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Man dhal-ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi-idhnih. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhitun bishayin min ilmi illa bima sha'a. Wasi'a kursiyu al-samawati wa al-ard. Subhanallah. Kursi. Allah Ta'ala says, وَسِيَ كُرْسِيُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ إِفْضُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Subhanallah. Great verse. What a praise. What a praise. An amazing, beautiful peace and satisfaction we attain by reading this verse. Allah Ta'ala has distributed the meaning of his tawhud, his jamal, his kamal, his shan, qayyumiyat, and Allah Ta'ala's qualities, Allah Ta'ala's status, glory, his power. Everything. Is this a small treasure? Is this a small treasure? What a great treasure Allah Ta'ala has given to the Ummah. And Allah Ta'ala said that this is the greatest quality in this verse. What has Allah Ta'ala done? Allah Ta'ala has, in the fourth subject of the meaning of the Quran of Tawheed, Allah Ta'ala has distributed that meaning in the whole of this verse. From the fourth segment, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. And the other segment is what? The other part of this verse is that, Subhanallah, what is in quote in terms of thawab? So first is its meaning, significance. Now we talk about reward. If somebody recites this verse once, it's as if he has recited 25% of the Quran, quarter of the Quran. So if you recite Surah Ayat al-Kursi twice, then you get the reward of half of the Quran. Three times you read Surah Ayat al-Kursi, 75% Quran completed. And if you recite it four times, then the reward is as if you've recited the whole Quran with the main meaning of Tawheed and significance of Tawheed. Person who reads four, the whole Quran. Once, if you recite this, 25%, quarter of the Quran. Twice, half the Quran. Three times, three quarters of the Quran reward. So this is the shan and the glory of this verse. So, Subhanallah, what is the link with us? Subhanallah. Nasina. With insan, human beings, us, what is the relationship with us? What is the situation of this verse with us? That he has a very great link with us, this verse. This ayah. What is the link? That this verse says that every ummati, I make him a jannati. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Guaranteed, Allah Ta'ala says, the ayat al-kursi, the verse of the throne, makes every ummati a jannati. Allah, how do you make everybody a jannati? Ayat al-kursi, the verse of the throne. Allah says, the person who recites me, the Ayatul Kursi says, whoever recites me won't be a normal person that recites me. The Ayatul Kursi says, I have such a high rank, and whoever recites me, I will take that person, him or her, into Jannah with me. So we should try to read Surah Ayatul Kursi, my friends. How? I'll tell you. So, how does the verse of the throne make a person an inhabitant of paradise? Now, there's a very famous hadith that the person who after the fard salah, after the compulsory salah, recites Ayatul Kursi, then between that person and Jannah, all of the distance. What is the distance? Just maut. Have you read this hadith? Have you heard this? The ulama ikram, they recite this very great hadith, famous hadith. Person who after every fard salah, compulsory salah, recites this Ayatul Kursi, then between that person and paradise, the gap, the distance, which is maut. It will just be maut and nothing else. So here the question arises that we are sinful people, we have gone to pray salah and then now recite Ayat al-Kursi. So have I then reached into paradise? Because the sinner cannot go into paradise, can he? Or she. So how will Ayat al-Kursi allow me to enter into paradise? Here's the question. Let's think. Let's ponder. And suddenly, I will now explain to you a hadith that how does Ayat al-Kursi deliver a person, a sinful person, people like us, upon recitation into paradise? How? In the hadith, it is stated that when an individual recites Ayat al-Kursi at any time, then what happens is that part of Ayat al-Kursi that person recites, for example, I recite Ayat al-Kursi in the part of the day in the morning or in the afternoon. That time when I recite this Ayat al-Kursi, from that time till the next day, you understand what I'm saying? The 24 hours are complete, aren't they? That you recite in the afternoon, then until the next afternoon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delegates one angel, selects an angel, and the work of that angel is that he keeps on doing the work, that person's sins are removed, and his status is increased. Aha, subhanallah. Subhanallah. For 24 hours, one angel, he sticks to you. You recite Ayat al-Kursi, then the angel comes. And he's created the angel. And when you recite Ayat al-Kursi until the next day, 24 hours morning, the function of the angel is that the sins of the individual, they are washed, cleaned, washed, eliminated, and his deeds are increased and elevated. Do you understand? So that person will go to Jannah, whose sins are removed. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared How Allah Ta'ala is prepared. The person recites this, who loves this, one angel will come. Then the next angel. So now listen to another beautiful point here, that me and you have heard this hadith, that whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after Salah, Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we recite the Fard Salah, we pray the Fard Salah, and after every Fard Salah we recite. So here, the point is that the person who doesn't pray Salah has failed. So Salah is lazim for the Jannati. Isn't it? Isn't it? Of course, it's obvious that when you pray Salah and Jama'ah, you'll get this reward that I'm telling you, isn't it? So how many Salahs, brothers? How many? 5 Salahs. Now we have taken hold of this verse of the throne. And after every Salah, Alhamdulillah, we recite Ayatul Kursi. And Allah's hukum is this, that every time the person recites Ayatul Kursi, I will create an angel. And when after 5 Salah you pray, recites Ayatul Kursi, then 5 angels will be created. Say Subhanallah again. Say Subhanallah. How many angels? 5. 5 angels. And the 5 angels, 24 hours. What do they do? They will say his deeds, let them increase and wash away his sins, this person. Subhanallah. So has he become a Jannati or not? Tell me. And this is how this Ayat al-Kursi, what does it do? It makes a person an inhabitant of paradise. My brothers, love the Ayat al-Kursi. Love it. And grab hold of it with regularity. Make it a wazifa. It's a very beautiful verse of the Quran. A short ayah, a short verse. And mashallah, you will be reciting this, Alhamdulillah. But now you will get more enjoyment for reciting this. We shouldn't become so stingy and miserly that we get something to eat, we get a basket of mangoes. We say, oh, let's bring another one. Let's keep this one in the evening. We'll eat this in the morning. And after every hour, you'll suck the mangoes. My brother, such a great ni'am. Allah Ta'ala has given us the verse of the throne. So let's say 5, make it into 10 in the day. What difference will it make? So then 10 angels. So upon every recitation, Allah will create an angel and who will do the work of removing the sins, increasing the deeds for 24 hours. So let's read it 100 times in the day. What great mercies of Allah are descending to us. We come into the grave. Should a mu'min go empty-handed? Does akal allow us to think that we go into our graves empty-handed without deeds? What ajeeb insan we are. We are losers. I can't understand. I swear by Allah, we don't do amal. How Allah Ta'ala has bestowed great ni'mas to this ummah. If we dig into the Quran, analyze the Quran, such precious pearls will emanate and come out that we will be left amazed and shocked that what ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given to us. In this every verse that we were reading Surah Al-Fatiha yesterday, weren't we? The chapter of Fatiha. And today Allah Ta'ala has given us another verse, and the style of this verse is even more unique and great. The verse says, I want to make you an inhabitant of paradise. Very easy method. And there's another point we learn here. Let's see here. That the person, this is the verse of the throne, and when this will take a person to Jannah, paradise, then the person who recites this verse, here is a point here that has come to mind, and I'll tell you this, that is stated here, that there are 3 types of sin. 3 types. And there's Saghira and Kabira, isn't it? And the Asul is that the tariqah of Allah is that the Saghira sin, the minor sin, we think that the angel will wash away the minor sins. Listen carefully. What will the angel do? Wash away the Saghira sins, not the major sins, the small sins. But Kabira are present. There are 2 forms, isn't it? So how will we get into paradise? How will we get into paradise if we got Kabira sins attached to our name? So the question arises, obviously the Saghira sins are washed away, not the Kabira. Like Allah Ta'ala said, that here the effect of this verse is taken, and Allah Ta'ala says, how do you wash? For example, you have a stain. Stain comes onto clothes, you can't wash them with water, you have to use oil or a cleaning agent, disinfectant, special powder, and that's how the, because not everything is washed with water. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala says, every sin, it has a cleaning agent. And it has an effect. The sin cannot be washed away easily. Saghira sins, Allah Ta'ala says, I remove. You come to the masjid, Saghira sins gone. You do wudu, Saghira sins go. They go from your elbow, your hands, your arms, from your mouth, from your face. You rinse your mouth, and they will come from your mouth, your tongue, from your eyes, from your ears. The Saghira sins are being removed. How Allah Ta'ala has prepared for this ummah. But Kabira sins, they don't just go like this. Allah says, for Kabira sins, there's another way. If you want your Kabira sins to go, Allah Ta'ala says that you have to come to me and do tawbah. Ask for repentance. Allah Ta'ala says, in my court, tubu ila Allah. Allah says, that drama will not be accepted. That now, for example, I'm giving you a great ni'mah, I'm wiping away the Saghira sins. But the Kabira sins, you will have to come to me. Allah says, don't worry, come, admit your sins and I will forgive you. Admit your sins and I will forgive you. This is my asool, Allah Ta'ala says. You'll have to have courage, determination, and accept that I am a big sinner, not a small sinner, a big sinner. I, Janab, I do zina with my eyes, I'm a big sinner. I do backbiting from my tongue, I'm a big sinner. I backbite people from my heart, and I hate people, I despise them, and I eat haram, and I do sins. And it's so sad that these things we don't accept today as sins. We commit these errors, how foolish we are. To this extent, Allah Ta'ala is saying that, why are you scared that however dirty you are, impure you are, whatever you are, come to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Come to me, speak to me, isn't it? Why are you scared? Why are you scared? The Allah says, you've rejected me. You have, as Allah Ta'ala rejected us, no. Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter how sinful you are, I have an asool. Allah says, come to me and say, Allah, that I have erred, I've committed a sin. What is the hukum for me? Allah Ta'ala says, hukum for you? The order for you is that you are forgiven. You've given you, all your deeds are forgiven, all your sins are forgiven. So here, subhanAllah, we learn that there the kabira sins that we do, the major sins we do, they will be not washed by anything. The only saghira are washed away by the deeds. Allah Ta'ala says, until and unless you go to Allah, man, woman, brother, sister, go sit down, raise your hands and your tears flow from your eyes. Allah says, you're crying, you have regret. Allah says, I will end Jahannam here. Your Jahannam hellfire will end here and you will reach to paradise. SubhanAllah, what path Allah has given. And even then we say, no, I want to go to hellfire. I want to burn. The, how can this be? So kabira sins, the major sins, we should admit them. We should accept their big sins. They are big sins that we are committing. In the presence of Allah, we are sinful, dark, evil. Let's go in front of Allah, unveil our hands, raise our hands and spread out our sheet for tawbah. Allah Ta'ala always in the car, outside, walking on the pavement, up, down, home, wherever we are, we should accept. Allah, we break the sunnah of your Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Habib. We don't practice his sunnah. Allah forgive us. Ya Allah, we criticize the sunnah of your Habib. Allah forgive us. We are scared of practicing the sunnah. Our legs shake. We will do all bad sins and evil actions with ease and confidence. But those amal Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has told us to do, we run away from them. And we are proud of sinning and running to the darkness of evil. How can a human live like this? A human being. What Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told us to leave. We run to those sins and embrace them. We think we're going to be forgiven. Oh, bakshish we've earned. There's no greater fir'auniyat than this. When a person sins, at least he should bow his neck. Say, Allah, I can't practice the sunnah. Or this action hasn't happened. Or I've not done this. We should have regret and go to the presence of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Otherwise, Jahannam, hellfire, is waiting for such insan. Such a big fire is waiting for us. We have to do muhasabah, continue to reflect. So the biggest point here is Ayat al-Kursi, another point of Ayat al-Kursi. Another point, Ayat al-Kursi says, okay, fine, that the angels are making our saghira sins being forgiven, and they want to take us to into paradise. Oh, Ayat al-Kursi, how will you take me into paradise? That fair enough, my saghira sins are being forgiven by you. And but Allah Ta'ala will forgive the kabira sins. Ayat al-Kursi says, that's my job. When you recite me, I hold your hand, your small finger, and I take you to the court of Allah, and you will ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. You will ask for forgiveness. So this means the person who recites Ayat al-Kursi, alhamdulillah, becomes so capable that he seeks forgiveness for his sins. Aha, beautiful point. Ayat al-Kursi. So saghira are forgiven. And to take us into Jannah, that person, Ayat al-Kursi, prepares that person, puts nur into his life, gives him power, gives him strength, instills her rahmah, and puts barakah and blessings, and then seeks intercession from Allah, direct. The Allah, this person is my mahbub, he recites me, give him power, energy. So how can that person be a sinner? He shakes inside, he comes to a sheikh, a teacher, hazrat, allow me to attain forgiveness, and allow me to do tawbah to Allah. This is the first step. And who allows us to do this? Who initiates this? Who initiates this, rather, is the Ayat al-Kursi, the verse of the throne. What a beautiful verse. And this is how it will take us into Jannah. It will deliver us into paradise. It will make us forgiven. So those people who are scared of forgiveness, tawbah, repentance, leaving the sins, who don't want to leave their sins, who are afraid, who do sins in the darkness, those men and women who are immodest, who don't follow the sunnah, who don't appreciate the haya, and in their life everything is spoilt and destroyed and dark and sins and time is passing, what should they do? That they should recite Ayat al-Kursi, kathiran kathiran. Ayat al-Kursi with regularity in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, whenever they get an opportunity, keep on reciting Ayat al-Kursi. Keep on reciting. Inshallah, the tawfiq for tawbah will be attained. Repentance will be attained. Isn't this the point? Yes. Then let's go further. The Ayat al-Kursi. What else do you do, Ayat al-Kursi, with this ummah? The verse of the throne says, I do another great thing, that there's no greater security than me for the people of the ummah, that the amount I protect the ummah, and I protect the believer, nothing else in the world can protect. That they cannot see the jinn or shaitan. They cannot see the punishments descending. They cannot see problems or difficulties that are running after them. And Ayat al-Kursi says, I have got an eye. I see everything. Whoever recites me, then I spread my wings and I move everything far away. All of the evil. And I remove everything and eliminate it. That I don't let it come close to me. Nor can a jinn come or magic occur. Or can a problem come. Nor can difficulties come. Nor can a storm come. rather nothing will come rather to this land. And no, never will a person, when a person is upset, when Allah Ta'ala is upset or Allah Ta'ala is displeased with someone, then the verse of the Quran will spread its wings and say, Allah, forgive this person. Why? Because I do the hamd and sana close to the arsh of Allah. I do the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala loves me, says the ayat al-Kursi. Allah, I have not read any verse of the Quran that it does the dhikr of Allah. Maybe the scholars have stated, this is the first thing I'm reading. There's such a verse of the Quran. There's a verse that is dhikr itself, subhanallah. That it is dhikr itself, it is doing dhikr itself. The verse of the throne. It is doing dhikr, it is dhikr, it is doing dhikr itself. Imagine the noor in the generation due to ayat al-Kursi, subhanallah. Praise be to Allah, glory be to Allah. As Ali karamallahu wajhu, radiyallahu anhu, stated, may Allah be pleased, how does ayat al-Kursi do this? A great statement of Hazrat Ali. The Hazrat Ali said, radiyallahu anhu, whoever recites ayat al-Kursi in the night at home, what happens? Hazrat Ali karamallahu stated this. He is the door of knowledge, Babul Ilm. And he said that when a person recites ayat al-Kursi in his home, inshallah, we'll recite this and definitely. So what happens is that in his home, not just his home is protected. The Jalal and Kamal of ayat al-Kursi is such that the neighborhood, even their homes are protected. And his neighbor across the other side is also protected. And this continues that all around, all of the houses are protected and come into the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And how is this? For one night, if you recite ayat al-Kursi, then Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented a hadith on this point. And I read this hadith that we got protection just for today. No. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person recites ayat al-Kursi once, not just in the night will he be protected, but for 40 days that person protected. 40 days. How many days? 40 days. The person earns protection from Allah. Guaranteed. No jinn, no magic, darkness, and all other things that we know, that we don't even know the calamities that are going to come to us and the storm that will come. We know today what is happening. So ayat al-Kursi is such a great thing. And we've left this Quran, and where are we running? To amils, to magicians, and so-called spiritual doctors, and this person, exorcist, and jinnat, and this person's stomach's got this in there, and they're saying, eat this, and they're doing shirk, and doing actions of shirk, and idolatry, and women go and bow at these people, asking them for magic formulas, and they go and bow at their feet and say, we are Muslims, and they go to the ghair mahram and say, they look at their faces, Allah, such disfigured people, ugly people that you cannot imagine their form, the people, these magicians or exorcists or people who say, I've controlled the jinn or magic, or I've got special effects and evil forces, and we're here to remove this thing. Always a person doing this, going to the person who removes the jadu and the effect of a jinn or magic. We see in pages of the papers are full of these people. One telephone call you make, and they'll say, oh, I'll come running to you, the husband, and the husband will jump to the feet of the wife, and children will come, and the magician will be there. And where's the amal in the Quran? Where are the verses of the Quran? And the dua that we should do to Allah, where are these people, these magicians? And we say, what is a mushrik? I don't do shirk. I believe in Allah. La ilaha illallah. Is this believing in Allah? Going to these third party people who are so-called magicians, who use dark and evil actions. If I start to mention the example of this ayat al-Kursi, this is such a subject, I'm going to stop. And if I start the commentary of this verse, that what is the oneness of Allah that this is mentioned, then I think we need 3 or 4 days to do the tafsir of this verse. What a great verse this is. What a great verse. But what is our situation? Today's Muslim, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, who recites this, who goes to the masjid, who looks at the Quran, who kisses the Quran, what does he do? What does he do? Allahu Akbar. He doesn't have yaqeen. Doesn't have certainty. That we have yaqeen on those people who don't have iman, on magicians, on fraudsters, but we don't have yaqeen on the Quran of Allah. We don't have yaqeen that ayat al-Kursi, will it do or not do? What's the protection? That for 40 days, Allah's Nabi says, said, if you recite ayat al-Kursi, the question doesn't arise that you will be have a problem in life, or an issue in life, or some sort of calamity in your life. That's it. A great security. The verse of the throne, ayat al-Kursi. Great security that whatever you do, this is a padlock. If you blow on this padlock, it will not open, will it? I'll tell you an event. Subhanallah. About the verse, about the effect of Allah Ta'ala's. Hazrat Khalil Saharanpuri, rahmatullahi, Nur al-Marqada, great sheikh, and he was in Mazar al-Ulum. He used to teach. And his, you can have a safe, like a treasure chest. There's a person who used to protect it. the person in the darloom, the money, the funds, and there was a teacher there, and there was a person who was the sort of treasurer, and his taqiyya kalam, his title was with the fadl of Allah. With the fadl of Allah, I've eaten. With the fadl of Allah. This was his taqiyya kalam, his title, and everyone in darloom knew this. With the fadl, in Urdu, Allah ke fazl se. With the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah. So once he did salam, and as I said, Allah ke fazl se, something very bad has happened to him. He started laughing. Allah ke fazl se, something bad has happened. With the grace of Allah, something bad happened. How can this be? He said, what happened? He said that all the rupees and the money that we've kept in the safe, and in the night I lie down, he said, I saw that four or five thieves came. And three or four thieves or five, and they were breaking that padlock for the treasure chest. He said, I saw this, my eyes open, I looked, they're breaking the padlock. And they were breaking the padlock, trying to get into the safe. I saw them. I said, doesn't matter how much you try, you will not be able to open the padlock, because I've recited Ayatul Kursi on this padlock. Ah, this is the truth, my friends. He said, then what happened? He said, then I kept on seeing, and then they ran from me. When I said this, they ran away, then they came back, then they tried to break the padlock again. Until the morning they kept on trying, and the padlock was not broken with the fadl of Allah. This is the verse of the throne. My friends, yaqeen and certainty. You can try as hard as you want, but the padlock will not break. Because there's an event of the time of Rasulullah, I'll share with you. There was a sahabi, and he had the business, the dates business. I'm telling you this reason, so that we, just like we put the padlocks, we lock the car. Who's looking? We lock the car, isn't it? So use the means, utilize them. I'm not saying don't use them, but use those asbab that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, those means and tools. So we put the padlock on, the thief breaks it. He breaks it, doesn't he? He puts the key in, he's got a fake key or a third key, but the padlock of Allah, no one's father can unlock this padlock. Nobody with yaqeen recite Ayatul Kursi. So there was a sahabi, a companion, and he had a business of dates. Dates business, used to sell dates. He had a store or a warehouse type of unit, whatever. And he was distressed that whenever I look in the morning, then my dates are less. Just like you are selling something, you come in the morning, your stock has reduced. Your stock has gone. He said, I put the lock on it or something. And what's gone? Where's it gone? Let me see today. So he sat there. He sat there and he saw in the night time, that man came inside and he had a bag and he's filling the bag with dates. Taking the dates. He said, I got up, I grabbed him, and I grabbed his neck, and I caught hold of that person. And he's trying to free himself, and I grabbed him hard. This was the sahabi. He'd grabbed him. He said, this is a point that he saw that, let me tell you, or make a request to you. He said, you've grabbed me. Now what will you do? He said, in the morning, I will take you to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and your hands will be cut, because you are a thief. You're a thief. And you have given me loss. And I will take you to the Prophet. He said, look, listen to me one thing. He said, today if you leave me, then I will give you such a wazifa, such a recitation, that never will a theft come to you. The sahabi said, is it? You have such a wazifa recitation? He said, guaranteed. He said, it's a guaranteed wazifa if you leave me, and I will tell you that recitation, that practice. He said, tell me the wazifa. He said that whenever your stock, your dates, etc., you want to safeguard them, then recite Ayatul Kursi, and they will never be stolen. He left that thief. And then, subhanAllah, the sahabi would give the report to the Prophet ﷺ. Every sahabi would do this. So the sahabi went in the morning and said, yes, what is it? He said, oh, Prophet ﷺ, in the night an ajeeb event took place like this, the theft used to take place. I lied down there, I stayed there yesterday night. The thief came, he was taking the dates, and then I grabbed hold of him. I was going to bring him, and I was going to bring him to your presence. But then he gave me this wazifa. Let me tell you, wazifa, I'll tell you something. Rasul ﷺ kept on listening. He said, what wazifa did he say? He said, recite Ayatul Kursi. And Nabi al-Kareem ﷺ smiled and said, that he was a liar, but he gave you the true statement. SubhanAllah. So my brothers, this verse of the throne is beneficial for the dunya, beneficial for the akhirah. This is a verse of the Quran. Tell me, what about the rest of the Quran then? So have love with the Quran, have a connection with the Quran, read the Quran, and do everything with the Quran. And after doing everything, do hifz of the Quran, memorize it, read it, tafsir, commentary, read it, listen to it, and listen to this bayans and speeches, everything. But one thing definitely take hold of, what is that? The Quran, have yaqeen on the Quran. Yaqeen, today we do everything, but what don't we have? Yaqeen on the Quran. That's why we are zaleel and wretched. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. Wallahi, I say we come swaying to and fro, we'll put fragrance on. And oh, what's happening today? Khatam of the Quran. Somebody's died, we'll recite Surah Yasin. He'll go into the grave. We do everything, but we don't have yaqeen on the Quran. If we have yaqeen, then our lives, one verse of the throne is enough. Is enough. To protect the world, to the dunya and akhirah, Jannah guarantee. Guarantee of Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Let's do dua to Allah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we have love with the Quran and we have yaqeen in the Quran. Ameen.